Hi, this is Nat Metcalf. Flyhawk have developed a unique 3D kit designer that's fully customable, so if you're looking for a new kit for your team for the new season, visit flyhawk.com or email info@flyhawk.com with your ideas now.
Nation Player is the easy-to-use, one-stop radio and audio app. Download Nation Player now on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Nation Player, we're on. Are you?
The Netball Show with Flyhawk. Raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
In Netball Show with Flyhawk, Netball Northern Ireland have had a really great year on and off the court. Karen Rowler-Stewart joins me, the Chief Executive of Netball Northern Ireland. Seems like an annual question, really, but it's about attracting that sponsorship, but making sure that companies getting involved almost align to what your aims and hopes are.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have had a really great year in terms of partnerships created. We've retained some really key partners. I know Cookery just put out the other day, obviously, that we've extended our partnership with them. And we've actually increased what that looks like in terms of them sponsoring our Premier League now, as well as being our kit partners across our national squads. We've just renewed again with the Dalgorm Group, which is really exciting. And last year we brought on about four or five other new partners, initially with small, I suppose, contributions. But then it's around they need to see where they're getting their value for their money and how we continue to give them the visibility and the reward for coming on and supporting us. But I'm under no illusion that right now female sport's trajectory is going through the roof, and the work that the Super League are doing around visibility and profile and around what World Netball are doing with Netball Pass and the amount of international series that are now visible. We are certainly reaping the rewards of that too in terms of interest that's coming our way. And I think the more eyes we can get on netball, the more attractive it becomes, not only to viewers and fans and supporters, but also to those investors that want to give back to female sport and who want to get their brand out there, not just locally, but globally as well. So I'm really confident that we will get the support that we need to ensure that our under-21s have a great campaign. And also wider than that as well, that Netball Northern Ireland, we do get the recognition that we deserve for how we perform both off the court and on the court across our domestic and our performance competitions.
A few weeks ago, we saw the Netball World Youth Cup draw. Netball Northern Ireland in Pool B alongside Australia, Samoa, Singapore, and a team very familiar to you, Scotland. That, to me, is a decent draw. You just need to get out of the pool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably it is a tad frustrating that we'll play Scotland again. Obviously, as you say, we're well known to one another. And I suppose one of our purposes of wanting to be in an event like this is to expose our athletes to different nations. Whereas this age group will have played Scotland a number of times across under 17s, under 19s, under 21s. And while the 12 might never be exactly the same, we know what style of play we're going to come up against. We know a lot of players. So I suppose that's probably not the game that everyone is looking forward to. We're looking forward to putting ourselves out there against the best in the world, against Australia. That's really exciting. And I suppose it's for us exposing our athletes to those opportunities in a really intense environment where they're backing up day after day, playing really tough matches, you know, real physicality, and not a lot of recovery time between games. So it's a really exciting group. As you say, it's a good group to be in. This age group won't have played Singapore or Samoa before. To be fair, they're not nations we've played a huge amount, even at senior level. So to be playing different styles, to be playing new teams is really, really exciting. And we'll love the match against Scotland. Of course we will. Yeah. It's always great rivalry on the court as much as we are best buddies off the court. I do think it's probably the one that, you know, we might have seen it before. But yeah, get out of the grip is key. But I leave all those performance targets down to the management team and the coaches. I let them decide what their targets are around that. Obviously, I want them to win. But yeah, they'll be the ones that are looking at the detail. They'll be the ones doing the video analysis on the other teams and setting those performance targets.
Hi, this is Niamh Cooper. You're listening to The Netball Show.
It's The Netball Show with Flyhawk, back with Karen Rowler-Stewart, the Chief Executive of Netball Northern Ireland. Karen, how was the Baldry shuffle worked, obviously welcoming Michael Gibbs into the board and a few more appointments as well, giving yourself a posh new title. So what's that been like over the year?
It has been really good. I think probably we've known now for a number of years that the focus of my role needed to become less hands-on with daily running tasks of netball. And I really need to be focused on the wider business side of it around working with those partners, getting, you know, key collaborations going and maintaining those relationships with investors that we already have, and trying to raise the profile of what we do. And that's not just necessarily from a money perspective, it's also just from around the influence and perspective. So I think my role now is very much around making sure I'm involved in those conversations around facility redevelopment, that I'm at the executive all-party working group for sports, so we know what matters are critical for indoor sport, for women's sport, and for netball in particular. As well as that, we're focusing on the influence that we can have within the Northern Ireland Sports Forum and local sports forums across different council areas within Northern Ireland. So it's a massive change for me. I definitely love the day-to-day drama of what happens across all of netball. It's very exciting. I love keeping up with what all the clubs are doing, what each of the academies are doing across all the age groups and stuff. But actually, in order for us to grow and continue to increase what we can offer, it is around making sure that we have access to more appropriate facilities and opportunities, and that people who have positions of authority and are dishing out the public money, that they are aware of the significance of netball and how well we play on the world stage and the difference that we make to the lives of women and girls, both from their physical and mental health, as well as those leadership skills, those educational skills. There's so much more to playing a team sport than just what you do on the court. It's all those added extras that come with it. So I think my role now is very much sharing that information as widely and as loudly as possible to increase the profile and make sure that people are starting to pay a bit more attention to what we do within netball.
Did you say day-to-day drama? I'm going to have to play that back.
I think every sport has day-to-day drama. I don't think any of us are watching any of like Sky Sports News, BBC Sport News, any of that, and not seeing some drama unfolding. And I have to say that I love how minuscule the drama is in Northern Ireland. We're very fortunate that we have a great network and everyone is very supportive of each other and completely fierce competitors on the court, but actually really good friends off the court, which is really rewarding to see. And yes, sorry, from a board perspective, yes, we've obviously announced Michael, who's incredible. His CV is outstanding, and he attended his first board meeting last week. And just some of the questions that he's asking and his vision for where we can be is so thought-provoking, and it's brilliant to have someone who's looking at it from a different perspective and really supportive but challenging at the same time. And we'll have a few more announcements in the new year as well around changes there. And it just really complements the board team that we already have, who, again, are so supportive and really proud of what we do. And there's always someone there at the end of the phone if you need to have a quick conversation around something. So, yeah, really excited about what that board makeup will look like. We'll look at those KPIs for the board at the start of the new year as well, once we have everyone announced and in play.
Participation will be another important factor as we head into the new year. What you've seen in regard to this up from last year?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, we are challenged year on year by our funders to make sure that we are increasing participation. And I think we are very fortunate in that we're one of the sports who we do get a lot of interest from new people wanting to join the sport, whether that's new clubs, new social groups, new schools joining. So participation has been a real success story for us this year. I think across both our domestic club competitions and our schools and our walking netball in particular. I think there's been a couple of highlights for me, and I would say probably the first one is around our domestic competition, in that we've done a restructure based on full consultation with our clubs. And actually, we've created now a Netball Northern Ireland app where everyone can go on and see all their fixtures. They can see all the scores across the competition. So you can look at not only what your club is doing, but you can see what is happening to other clubs, and it's live data. I do want to push the boat. I do want to make it that we can update it courtside straight after game. We're not quite there yet, but I am pushing for that one. So that's been really exciting, and it's been welcomed a lot within the netball family, which has been great. I say probably the other biggest success within participation has been our walk-in netball program this year. Nothing makes me happier, I suppose, and you get that feel-good factor when you walk into a walk-in netball session and you see the joy that it brings to the ladies who are playing, who have maybe come back from injury or illness, come back maybe from having children, or, you know, they maybe just had something quite life-changing happen to them and they've decided to invest a bit of time, whether that's 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, just in themselves. And what we find with our walking netballers is that most of them have that real social aspect around it. They go for coffee afterwards. And I know Betty Wilson is our Here If You Need coach, and she leads on our walking netball program. And the amount of Christmas lunches and dinners she is going to in December is insane, because all the groups are just all about that friendship. You know, they find new friends, they've created new support systems around them, and they get to play netball. So I love it. I love going along to their sessions. We had a walking netball festival midway through this year that was hosted in Antrim and supported by Antrim and Abbey Borough Council. And we had some workshops for the ladies, as well as bringing all the teams together to have a competition style tournament. And it was just incredible to walk in and feel the fun, the happiness, and just the togetherness that brings. And it was really, really rewarding and enjoyable to be a part of. So that's a massive excitement for next year. I do believe one of our walking groups is actually planning a tour as well, which is just amazing.
World rankings, 11 at the minute. Accurate?
Yes, accurate. I think we've obviously had a really positive year from a Warriors perspective. Up until Celtic Cup, we'd played 10-1-10 under Shona's reign, and that's been really exciting. And every time we played, we were pushing ourselves even more. So I think we probably recognise there's a bit of a rebuild within the Warriors. I know, I want to say we've had 5 new caps there off this year already. Started off with the Europeans in Isle of Man, came away with the gold there in a really, really tightly contested final against UAE, which was amazing. And then next step up was 3-match series away in Barbados, and anyone traveling to a Caribbean nation and playing in that atmosphere, we have recently saw what happened between England and Jamaica. You know, it's a whole different kettle of fish playing away as to what it is playing on a home court. So to see what that team achieved back to back in Barbados while I was watching at 1 a.m. in the morning here was just phenomenal. And we knew the Celtic Cup would be a massive step up from where we had been. Really pleased with the performances across the Celtic Cup. We narrowed the gap between us and Scotland and Wales from the last time we played them, and the younger players that we had on the court feeling that intensity, feeling that rivalry, that exposure is just incredible, and we need to do it more often. And I suppose I did have a couple of people say to me, was I disappointed, you know, that we didn't win the final Zimbabwe game? Of course there comes a level of disappointment, as it was a goal for goal game. But now look what Zimbabwe have gone and done in the South Africa series. You know, they have pushed everyone. They have beat nations that they weren't expected to. That team are solid, and they just need more opportunities, and they will completely push through those African countries. The style they play, the intensity that they play at, and the athleticism of the players is phenomenal. So I'm not in any way disappointed by where we sit right now. 11th in the world is probably accurate and where we should be. And we need to just keep pushing on to expose the players to different styles of competition more often.
I'll get something more juicy out of you one of these days, Karen, don't worry. You mentioned it there, obviously, Celtic Cup. What do you make of the overall performance?
Yeah, I think we wanted to get a number of things out of the Celtic Cup. Obviously, it's been conversations that Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland have been having for a long time. The international calendar doesn't really accommodate those nations that sit 7th to 12th, 13th, 14th in the world. There's a lot going on for the top 6 in the world. And I suppose we thought, how do we continue to give us an appropriate calendar that allows us to play nations that we need to play, so that we don't suddenly appear in a World Cup or a Commonwealth Games and are playing a team that we haven't played for 4 years and we don't know what they're like and we're not used to the style. So I think when we started talking about it probably 2 years ago now, it was very much, how did the three nations come together to give us a consistent event in the calendar that allows each of us to play the nations that we want to play, but actually is supporting all of us to push ourselves forward. So I'm really pleased that the Celtic Cup came off. It was challenging. Three nations coming together who are all potentially looking for slightly different things from the opposition that they play, and in slightly different phases in terms of their performance programme. So for us to sit down and thrash it out and get the agreement and to have such an incredible event in Glasgow was amazing. I think all the three countries worked really well together. I think from the performance perspective, there are areas that we need to look at in terms of length of event, countries that we invite, you know, timing of the event, timing of matches, all that type of stuff. Like, that's all in the detail, and it's great that Shona and the other head coaches are coming together to discuss those types of things. But certainly from my perspective, it was a big investment, but it was a massively worthwhile investment, seeing the players that were exposed, seeing what they were capable of doing in really tight games, and coming up against the other home nations who are always going to be really challenging to play. We all know how close Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland are year on year at every age group. So yeah, huge step up, and really pleased with how it went and the attitude of the squad going into it, how they were excited to see the improvements across each game and the improvements from the last time we played each of those nations.
Kath had suggested to me that it might be something that's worth repeating in 2025. I don't know, the conversations might have already taken place, but something you'd agree with?
Yes, we are in conversations. I think ultimately we want it to be an event that we can host every year, that there's not another major event going on. But I suppose a lot of that will depend on conversations with Commonwealth Games around how many teams are going to be involved in the Glasgow Games for netball, what that looks like, what the qualification process looks like, because we know that all is still undecided right now, and it may or may not be the same as what it has historically been. Obviously, historically, it's been the top 12 in the world in terms of rankings, and that's how you've qualified. That's not necessarily the case this time, and we're still just waiting for confirmation around that. Obviously, it is top 12. We're 11th and we will be there. But if it's not top 12, if it's less than that, or if it's a qualification event, that would then change our performance programme to give us the best opportunity possible of being there. But yes, Celtic Cup, it was not a one-hit wonder. It will be back. It's just a case of us aligning as three countries, when, where, who and how.
And we end 2024 with the news of Anne's passing. There'll be a generation of players really there that didn't exactly realise what she did for the sport.
Oh, absolutely. To walk in and see so many of our netballers from years ago, who I knew when I was young and they were at their playing peak, or they were starting their coaching journey, and to see the love and admiration and respect that they all had for Anne, and hearing their personal stories of what she did for them. Andy McGee, obviously one of our Hear If You Need coaches as well within Netball, and I was telling me when she played at under 17, Anne was her coach, and Anne used to pick her up every Saturday because Andy had no other way of getting to training. So that softer side, that compassionate side to Anne, is something that those closest to her have felt and have known. And I suppose when we shared our post about her on our socials page, the comments speak for themselves. You know, a global inspiration from both playing, coaching, and that was before she even moved into her umpiring side of things, which is how I knew her. She supported me when I was going for my A award. And we've had this conversation as umpires recently. She had exceptionally high standards, but she was really supportive around pushing you to get those high standards. and telling you what you needed to do to get there. And actually just looking back through some of the memorabilia that we have within the office from, you know, former World Cup events, we've had programs and things. So when you see what she did as a player, and then to play in a World Cup and to then umpire in a World Cup, it's just outstanding. What the lady achieved is absolutely incredible. We already have a competition named after her, and it was lovely actually during the service yesterday. Part of our tribute was read out, and I think how much netball meant to her and how much she gave back was so lovely just to sit and listen and hear all about her. But you're right, I suppose some of the younger netballers now won't have had that impact from her, but I suppose their coaches will have. And that's what was nice yesterday, sitting in the room with people who are coaching now, people who are umpiring now, people who are helping out at social netball now, people who have maybe taken a step back from netball, but they're reminiscing about the great times that they had with Anne and how much she achieved quite under the radar, because I suppose we didn't have the profile or visibility at that point that we do now. And I think even when you see people like, you know, Cheryl Dunstan and Janet Wright and commenting on our posts as to how impactful Anne was, I think that just speaks volumes.
Karen, according to Zoom, we've got 6:27 to speak about plans and how much Netball Northern Ireland are looking forward to 2025. How do you think that'll go?
2025 will be great. We have a really busy year coming up. So in terms of all the stuff that we do around competition and domestic netball and schools and clubs, there is a huge programme coming up along that pathway. And then outside of that too, we're hosting the under-17 Europeans in March, which is, there's 11 teams competing. It's now a 6-day event. So quite full on for our staff team, but we will have two of our high performance umpires involved in that, which is really exciting. We have a group of four who are being supported by Europe Netball with Joe Kelly over mentoring, which is really brilliant. And we really want to push those four on and give them more opportunities next year as well. We obviously have the World Youth Cup in September, which will be all hands on deck, getting ourselves ready for that. And we will know what is going to happen with Commonwealth Games, hopefully at the start of 2025. So from a performance perspective, we'll be able to have our calendar ready nice and early. Outside of that, for me, it's around securing investment from Sport Northern Ireland for the next 4 years. At the minute, we are at the end of another one-year cycle. And next year is also going to be another one-year cycle. So it's what happens beyond that. And it's around making sure we're putting a really solid business case forward to secure their support for the 4 years beyond that. And also, as I said, outside of that, we know public money is not easy to come by. So for me, it's just around growing the business, growing the profile, growing the visibility, which certainly I know our social media has really helped. And we now have a staff member who is part-time, but she's really focused on that. And it's really exciting to see the increase that we've got in terms of our reach across the board, across all the platforms that we're using. So I suppose that's important as well, that visibility piece, continuing to lobby to key personnel within government around the requirement for appropriate facilities that clubs can access. I think a lot of us are fully aware that while our Warriors don't have a home in Northern Ireland, I think I've ranted about that quite a few times. That's just one of the challenges. The other challenge is that a lot of our clubs are at capacity because they can't get access to a netball facility, a leisure centre, a school or whatever for the amount of time that they need to add more members to their club. So I think what I would like to see is just a bit of movement in those opportunities within facilities to allow us to access them a bit more, so that we can just give netball back to more people.
Everything Netball Northern Ireland, netballni.org. Karen, thank you for your support this year, and speak next year. Always plenty going on, it sounds like.
Yes, thank you so much, Andy. It's always lovely to chat, and I know that no matter what we have going on, I can just drop you a message and you'll give us loads of coverage and support, which is always so lovely to have.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.